Welcome to the Closing Market Report for August the 15th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois State Fair. In just a moment, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be along with a complete look at today's commodity markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, will be on the line to give you the daily blow-by-blow of the trade. Dave will be here, too, for the news, and then we'll come back to the State Fairgrounds if all goes well. We'll hear from the president, the chancellor, and the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. The three of them should be touring the University of Illinois campus town display here on the state fairgrounds, and we'll try to pull them away for just a few moments. If that doesn't happen, we'll hear, as we do every Tuesday, from the state statisticians in Illinois and Indiana and other parts of the Midwest. Just after the bottom of the hour, by the way, don't forget to stay with us when meteorologist Don Day will join Dave Dickey for a complete look at the agriculture weather forecast. So stay with us as we bring you the Illinois State Fair edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report. Before we get started, just a reminder that this Thursday, August 17th, is the 50th Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The morning kicks off at 7 a.m. I'll be dispatching those wagons into the research plots. The tours are absolutely free. It'll take most of the morning to see all four of the tours. There is a noon hour lunch. You'll need to buy that, but the fee's not very high. And there's a keynote address from Eldon Gould from Northern Illinois. He's a farmer there. He's also the administrator of the USDA RMA. That's the Risk Management Agency. Think crop insurance. So come see us on the South Farms here in Urbana at 7 a.m. Thursday, August the 17th. It's just a couple of days away. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment along with Wayne Nelson. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois State Fair.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. September wheat at 4.49 and three quarters, up 5 3/4. December, 4.63 1/2, up 1 3/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat 3.76 3/4, up 2 3/4. December, 3.97 1/4, up 3. September corn 2.22 unchanged. December 2.38 1/2, up 1/4. March 2.53 1/4 unchanged. December the red line 2.90 1/2, up 1. September soybeans 5.56 1/2, up 1/4. November 5.69 1/4 unchanged. January 5.82 down 1/4. November 6.25 unchanged. September soybean meal 159.90 down $1. September soybean oil 25.38 up 31. At the Merck August feeders 115.62 1/2 down 42 1/2. August live cattle 87.75 down 57 1/2. October at 91.70 down 10, and August bellies at 77.35 up 185 points on the day. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, after starting the day on the downside, commodities managed to claw their way back to even to slightly higher today. Why?
Well, you know, it was a sort of a quiet trade to most of the morning there, Dave, and we started off with some follow-through selling. Today was the third day of fund liquidation after the report on Friday. Of course, that started the liquidation, and we saw the funds, you know, reduce their large long in the corn quite a bit, depending on whether you consider that there's maybe 100,000 contracts that are going to be base position for the index funds, we could be down within 5 to 10,000 contracts long for the other traditional funds at this point in time. You know, we're not quite sure where they are, but the side-by-side trading that keeps us a little off balance as to knowing, you know, whether they are and how close they are that way. But, you know, then we saw the little bounce, and it was led by the Kansas City wheat here today, because it was definitely oversold, and a little bit of buying out there on the warm or the dry weather in some of the areas where they'd like to see a little more rain before we get into planting season for fall wheat.
Before I get into the crop particulars, you had a good overview there. Talk a little bit about the PPI and what was going on there today.
The producer price index is what you're talking about there, Dave, and I guess I'm going to have to plead a little guilty and not be able to talk a lot about that. So you might fill in for me a little bit there.
Well, it appears that it rose just 0.1% in July, and that was boosting interest rate sensitive shares, as those of banks and some financial institutions as well. And I was wondering whether or not that might have some impact on the commodities down the line.
Well, you know, I think that if we can keep the producer price index from going wild, then it's going to leave a little more money for, of course, foods and the grains and that along the way. So, you know, that's good. But also on the other side is it doesn't increase, why it sort of takes the inflation factor away. So it's a plus on one side and a minus on the other.
All right, then. Let's look at some particulars. Let's look at technicals in the soybeans and begin with the November. We bounced yesterday off its low, and looks like we're in a slight recovery, but won't want to get too excited about this just yet. Wonder, though, if we might be moving into a sideways phase here.
Well, you know, we had just a very close 4 cent range today in a consolidating type session. It seems like we found some footing near Monday's close, you know, because we were definitely oversold on the technicals, and the soil showed some strength here today, Dave, and you know, that's good. So situation early and now the much wetter situation, they're talking that we might see a lower production of soil and the beans as they come on like that. Also, the NOPA crush was really good for July, and there's talk of Chinese interest buying more, and of course we did continue to see Chinese buying over the last couple of days.
Did meal pull soybeans down today to some degree?
Well, as we looked, the meal was lower, of course, and the oil higher. They were of course, buying the oil on the what we just talked about and the excitement in that in the current world, oil, veg oil stocks, and, of course, in the meal backing up a little bit because we're going to be crushing the beans mainly for oil rather than for the meal this year.
How do you look at the technical action in the December corn contract today?
With the corn crop today, well, you know, it stayed in there pretty good. We went down, weren't able to take out yesterday's lows, and then we also, managed to close just slightly higher here today or unchanged that way. But it's still pretty much trapped in the consolidation phase, just like we talked about the beans.
Are all those gaps that we're beginning to see in that December corn contract of concern to you for any potential for a rally in the fall?
I think that, yes, they're definitely there. If we get overly bearish, we get some surprises and farmer tight holding and a few things like that going on, all of a sudden the technicals can take over a little bit, and we can go to try to fill those gaps, Dave.
All right. Turn your attention over to the Merck. What are you seeing there today?
Well, you know, as we looked, there wasn't a lot of activity on the Merck here today. We're looking sort of forward to the cattle on feed report on Friday like that, where the average guesstimates are 107 on feed, placed at 116.5, marketed at 102.6. So all of those, that's some big placements, 7% more. Are 7% more on feed and 16% more placed. So, we're just wondering how long these cattle can stay above the $90 mark with those sort of placements, Dave.
All right then, Wayne. Thanks much. Have a great day.
You too, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report and on Tuesday mornings at 9:50 Central Time, on the Opening Market Report.
And I'm Todd Gleason on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. A beautiful day here on the fairgrounds. By the way, don't forget to join us after the bottom of the hour when Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be along to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Jay Searles has a forecast for this afternoon, and we have a special addition to the ag staff. Our own Mike Sola's wife, Charla, is with us to give us the forecast for the afternoon. Thanks for being along at the U of I display. Charla, tell me about the forecast for the afternoon.
Well, this afternoon will be mostly sunny and gorgeous. It's just a few puffy clouds, highs in the lower to middle 80s. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows ranging from 52 in northeast Indiana to 60 across the south. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs ranging from 83 in northeast Indiana to 87 in the south.
Thanks much. Sharla Sola joining us here at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. You can do that, too. We're located in the Campus Town building. That's between the Exposition Building and the Coliseum on the fairgrounds in Springfield. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Good afternoon. This is Dave Dickey. In agricultural news, a federal district judge has ruled USDA acted with utter disregard of the Environmental Protection Act in allowing cultivation of drug-producing genetically engineered crops in Hawaii. The decision is the first federal court ruling on so-called biofarming. USDA authorized seed companies to plant over 800 acres of drug-producing corn and sugarcane on four Hawaiian islands from 2001 to 2003. USDA has been ordered to appear in court on August 22nd to discuss remedies. A pair of swans at a wildlife preserve in Michigan may have tested positive for H5N1 avian influenza. But the Bush administration says the disease is not the highly pathogenic strain responsible for numerous deaths in Asia. APHIS Chief Ron DeHaven says it is possible the swans have two separate viruses, H5 and N1.
Even if that is the case, this would not change our assessment relative to the low risk associated with this particular finding.
Confirmatory testing is underway at USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratories in Ames, Iowa. Results are expected within 2 weeks. DeHaven says there is concern with the ability of the virus to mutate from a low pathogenic strain to a deadly high pathogenic strain.
One of the characteristics about influenza viruses in general is their ability to mutate and mutate quickly. And it's really for that reason that the flu shot that you obtained last year won't protect you from the flu viruses that we'll encounter next year or the year after. It's no different in birds. In fact, these viruses do mutate quickly. It's only the low pathogenic H5 and H7 subtypes that have ever been known to mutate into a highly pathogenic form. So the fact that we are dealing here with what looks like a low pathogenic H5 virus would be reason for concern simply because any H5 or H7 virus has that potential.
U.S. governmental agencies have tested roughly 8,000 birds since June, about half of which have been migratory birds in Alaska. And the nation's corn growers are being asked to consider a plan that would radically change government support of the crop. Under the proposal, producers would be able to sign up for a program that combines revenue assurances with revenue-based countercyclical payments. The revenue assurance program would replace federal crop insurance and would be similar to the current Risk Income Protection Insurance Program. The National Corn Growers Association is reviewing the plan. Sources at Washington Insiders say there's disagreement among and within states for accepting the plan. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This is Dave Dickey.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, coming to you today from the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Come visit us in Campus Town, situated between the Exposition Building and the Coliseum. USDA yesterday afternoon released its weekly crop progress report. It now says 67% of the corn has reached the dough stage. That's ahead of the five-year average and last year. 25% of the crop, according to the USDA, is now dented, and that's 6 percentage points ahead of schedule. 97% of the beans have bloomed on par with the pace, and 85% have set pods. That's well ahead of schedule. USDA says 57% of the corn crop is in good or excellent condition, the same as last week and better, of course, than last year. And 56% of the soybeans fall into those two categories. And that's one percentage point improvement from last week. Now, here are the state statisticians from Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, and Indiana.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 13th. Last week's temperatures were above normal in most parts of the state, but precipitation was also above normal. The state received 1.55 inches of rain, and most locations received more than the usual rainfall for the week. As a result, soil moisture conditions improved and are now rated 11% very short, 23% short, 63% adequate, and 3% surplus. One part of the state, the Southwest District, has missed most of the rains over the last few weeks. In that district, soil moisture conditions are rated as 87% very short, 7% short, and 6% adequate. As of Sunday, August 13, the state's corn crop is rated as 10% in very poor to poor condition, 21% is fair, and 69% is in good to excellent condition. 3% of the corn crop is rated as mature, compared to 3% 1 year ago and 2% for the 5-year average. 34% of the crop has reached the dent stage, compared to 31% normally and 38% last year. The soybean crop is rated as 10% poor to very poor, 23% fair, and 67% good to excellent. 87% of the crop is setting pods, compared to 89% last year and 81% for the 5-year average. 1% of the crop has started turning yellow. Switching now to sorghum, 86% of the crop has headed, compared to 94% last year and 82% normally. 34% of the crop is coloring, the same as last year. The crop is rated as 27% in very poor to poor condition, 29% fair, and 44% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the crop and weather report for the week ending August 13th. Last week, the state experienced moderate temperatures and scattered rain showers, which helped to improve crop conditions in many areas. Corn condition is rated 72% good to excellent, compared with 41% last year. 66% of the corn acreage is in the dough stage, compared to 72% last year and 61% for the 5-year average. 18% of the corn acreage is in the dent stage, compared with 20% last year and 19% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition is rated 71% good to excellent, compared with 53% last year. 94% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared with 99% last year and 94% for the 5-year average. 67% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 88% last year and 73% for the 5-year average. Pasture condition is rated 54% good to excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay is 45% complete. Last week, there were 4.9 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture is rated 1% very short, 10% short, 81% adequate, and 8% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 4.24 inches, and temperatures averaged from 3 degrees below normal to 6 degrees above normal, with a high of 97 and a low of 46 degrees. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 13, 2006. Showers last week resulted in accumulations from a trace to upwards of over 4 inches across the eastern two-thirds of the state. Irrigated corn fields rated 74% good or excellent, while dry land fields only rated 23% good or excellent, both below year-ago levels. 80% of the corn was in the dough stage, and 26% had reached the dent stage. Soybean conditions improved and rated 43% good or excellent last week. Nearly all the acreage planted had bloomed and 91% were setting pods. Sorghum conditions improved and rated 48% good or excellent. 83% of the sorghum planted was headed and 9% was turning color. Third cutting alfalfa was 65% complete. Alfalfa conditions rated 23% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 70% poor or very poor. This has been Mark Harris, Director, USDA NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 13, 2006. Crop development continued to advance ahead of average, while topsoil moisture supplies were rated mostly short or very short across much of the state. The small grain harvest progressed rapidly, aided by slightly above average temperatures and dry weather. Approximately half of the corn and soybeans acres were rated in good or excellent condition. However, crops in the north and central area continued to be stressed due to lack of moisture. Producers continued to scout and spray for soybean aphids. The average temperature for the week was 70.4 degrees, 1.1 degree above normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 34% very short, 29% short, 37% adequate, and none surplus. As of Sunday, August 13th, an estimated 92% of the corn was in the milk stage, compared to 75% for the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage was 50%, an increase of 38 percentage points from the previous week. Corn crop condition was rated 51% good or excellent, a decrease of 5 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean setting pods was estimated at 97%, compared to 80% for the average. Soybean crop condition was rated 54% good or excellent, a decrease of 6 percentage points from the previous week. Spring wheat was 73% harvested, 40 percentage points ahead of the average. Sweet corn harvest was 32% complete, 6 percentage points ahead of average. Potatoes were 19% harvested, 15 percentage points ahead of average. This has been the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 13, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in Campus Town at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Up next, Dave Dickey will be joined by Don Day to take a look at the agricultural weather. That, of course, in just about 2 minutes. But first, your regional newscast.
And we'll have that regional news in just a minute or two. First, though, let's go ahead and take a look at outside markets. September crude oil finished the day at $73.05, down 48. The CRB trading currently at $338.79. It's off 3 points today. The U.S. dollar softer as well at $85.21, off 46 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 11,225. It is up 127 points today. The S&P 500 at 1285.23 is up just over 17 points. The NASDAQ at 1534 is up almost 40 points. Silver prices today, August silver traded 1205 and three quarters. It was off 7.25 points today. August gold traded 622.50. It was down $6 on the day. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index at 485.82 is off 144.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on Thursday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at the Decatur Conference Center in Decatur, Illinois, with U of I head basketball coach Bruce Weber. Outlook meetings will also be held on August 19th in West Lafayette, Indiana, and on August 21st at 5 p.m. in Logansport, Indiana. More details at 866-837-9027.
And while we're bringing up the subject of Outlook meetings, we'll be at the AgriGold Research Farm just east of Tuscola, Illinois, on Route 36, tomorrow evening, August 16th, for a AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panel. That panel getting underway at 6-ish, 6:15-ish. Panelists for the meeting will include Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. Part of a full day of activities out at AgriGold, call 866-313-2145 for details. Coming up next is your AM 580 regular newscast.
And with this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. More than $25 million in new Opportunity Returns grants will be used to help build five new ethanol and biodiesel plants near Danville and other sites across Illinois. Governor Rob Blagojevich's office today says the new plants will create almost 150 new jobs and will produce 225 million gallons of biofuels each year. Besides Danville, the grants will be used to help build plants near Canton, Rochelle, Elmwood, and Sauget. Urbana police say the man whose body was found in Crystal Lake last Friday has been identified as 47-year-old Edward R. Mitchell of rural Urbana. Police are awaiting the results of toxicology tests to learn more about how Mitchell died. An autopsy was conducted last weekend. Mitchell's body was discovered by boaters at Crystal Lake. The body of a 23-year-old former Marine sergeant who tried to rescue his 4-year-old nephew from the Kankakee River has been recovered. Wilmington Police Chief Wally Evans says Jaffet Santoyo was found today about a mile and a half away from the dam where young Brian Santoyo went into the water. The child was saved, but two other people also drowned. Indiana's foreign-born population is growing, but the U.S. Census Bureau says it's still low compared to many other states. About 4% of Indiana residents in 2005 were born outside the United States. That's compared to 3.1% 5 years earlier. A Danville City Council committee begins hearing public comment today at 4:30 at the Danville Municipal Building on possible smoking regulations. Mayor Scott Eisenhower says they want to hear what everyone has to say on the issue before discussing whether or not to regulate smoking in the city. And the Champaign City Council expects to gain a new member tonight. Council members will vote on who will fill the at-large seat left vacant by the resignation of Kathy Ennin. 15 people have applied for the council seat. Chicago Cardinal Francis George is out of the hospital, where he underwent surgery nearly 3 weeks ago to remove his cancerous bladder, and he thanks those who prayed for him during his ordeal. George today said he's looking forward to being at home. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's just gorgeous out there right now.
It's going to stay that way. We're going to put together 3-4 days in a row of temperatures in the 80s, lows in the upper 50s and mid-60s across most of the Midwest and Corn Belt, although some of the western areas of eastern Nebraska and Iowa, could be getting into some rain, thunderstorm activity as we get into Thursday and Friday. Then the rest of the Midwest and Corn Belt, looking at the weekend, is the next best chance of good rain.
Possible heat stress out there, Oklahoma way, Texas perhaps?
Yes, definitely going to be hot. East Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, that's going to be the hot spot, although extreme heat in terms of covering a large area, not likely, but those will be the hot spots.
But in the eastern Corn Belt, temperatures very favorable for crop development, it seems like.
And it's going to stay that way. There's no indication that there's going to be an expansion of that heat in the south central states to the north and east. If anything, temperatures at or maybe even a degree or two below normal in many areas once you add everything up over the next 5 to 10 days. And we should see a bit more of an active shower and thunderstorm pattern starting this weekend, heading into the next week. So conditions for many areas do look favorable, both with temperatures and chances for moisture.
So rain chances in Illinois, Indiana, Thursday and Friday, that kind of thing?
That looks good. That's when we start to see it, with the weekend bringing better chance.
And what about down in the Delta? What's going on down there these days?
Well, it's going to be really hot, and it's going to be muggy, but the rain chances are actually not terribly good. The better moisture will stay to the north and west, so they're going to be a little bit on the dry side and hot.
And what places are you looking at globally across for potential problems?
Well, let's go over into Europe. They have not seen it nearly as hot like the U.S. They've seen temperatures cool off from those hot temperatures we had in July. And it does look like most of Europe is going to see favorable chances of rain, so good news there. In China, still dry in the central and northern growing areas. Those southern areas still affected by typhoon activity here in the last week or two. In South America, soil moisture in Brazil and Argentina a bit on the dry side as they start to leave their winter season. They could use some moisture down there, but there's no good moisture in sight.
And let's go take a quick look down in Australia.
Australia, their outlook for the next week or two, pretty dry. The only exception would be the far eastern areas.
Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don joins us every Tuesday afternoon here on AM 580. This is Dave Dickey.
And I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Thanks to the AM 580 staff and especially Dave Dickey for helping out with today's show. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning to hear Dave at 8:49 for the first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason from the Fairgrounds. You have a great afternoon.